Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's another deep drive to left field. Did he get this one? Back, and gone. Oh, forget about the cycle. Just hit it out of the ballpark for the second time. He has four hits and two home runs.
Big night for Mookie Betts last night in Philadelphia. Big night, 4-for-5, 3 RBI, 2 home runs, and a double on top of it, right? Betts had a double, too. Single, double, 2 home runs. You heard Dave O'Brien say there. Forget the cycle. You know how I feel about the cycle. So this is like a classic example. Would you rather had a triple there than a home run? Please. The cycle sucks. The cycle has always sucked. But the Red Sox right now, hot. Hot. And I think it's 16-7 now in their last 23 games, I believe it is. 9 games over .500 the Red Sox are. And that is a season high, and they are within 2 games of the New York Yankees in the American League East. 617-779-0985 is your phone number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock. So Jimmy Stewart, our producer, can open up the phones right away. And I remind you that the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com. Fabulous new service offered by Gillette. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later on in the program. But with Father's Day coming up, you should check it out. And our thanks to the people at Gillette. So again, 617-779-0985. Here's where I want to start. I want to start with Mookie Betts. And we get a bunch of things to get to tonight on the program. Tyler Thornburg, by the way, in the event you have not heard, finally done for the year. Done for the year. The Red Sox officially announced it today. He will have surgery on his right shoulder to address or repair thoracic outlet syndrome and will not pitch for the Red Sox this season. This is the guy the Red Sox traded a bunch of players for, including Mauricio Dubon, a shortstop prospect, and Travis Shaw, who is ripping it up for the Brewers, who are in first place. Okay, so meanwhile, the Red Sox have third base problems. We'll get to Thornburg and Dave Dombrowski a little bit later in the program. But I do want to start with Betts. I want to start with Betts because John Heyman of, what the hell is that?
FanRag, I believe.
FanRag he works for now, correct. Thank you, Murray. John Heyman now works for FanRag, and if you don't know Heyman, he worked a long time in the New York market, did some work for Yahoo, I think, for a period of time, CBS Sportsline for a period of time, has done some work on the MLB Network. John's been around a long time, and he writes today, the Boston Red Sox explored the possibility of locking up Mookie Betts to a long-term deal this winter following his second-place finish in the MVP voting to Mike Trout, according to sources. However, Betts, like almost all young superstars who are position players these days, decided he's comfortable going year to year at that time. Now, Heyman goes on to say that Betts has the ability to change his mind, can do so at any time, but the mere fact that he turned down the Red Sox on a long-term contract offer, and when I say offer, we don't even know that. They went to him and said, we'd like to talk about a long-term deal. And Betts said, well, no, you know what? I'm good. I'll go year to year. Now, I'm willing to bet they actually got engaged in discussions a little bit. And Murray, you and I had a discussion about this.
About a month and a half ago,
yeah,
2 months
earlier
ago.
Earlier in the year on Betts and what it would cost to sign him. And I think I said something around 8 years, $250 million. Okay, 8 years, $250 million, which is about 31 and change per year. Right? 31 and change per year. And there was a story in ESPN earlier this year, and I think it was written by, I'm drawing a blank now. Jimmy, who was the guy that worked for the Blue Jays, the stat guy, and then went to ESPN? He's kind of an analyst.
Keith Law?
Keith Law. Keith Law did the story where he identified the 25 players in Major League Baseball under the age of 25 who would command the biggest contracts if they were to hit the free agent market now. Betts was the highest valued Red Sox, and Keith Law put it at 7 years, $217 million. I gave Betts an extra year. I gave him 8, but we both came in around $31 million. The bottom line is that Betts said no. Betts said no. So when you guys heard this, and I'm asking you, the fan, when you heard this, and Murray and Jimmy Stewart, when you guys heard it, what's the first thing that popped into your head? What was your reaction?
oh, he's going to wait to see what the standard is set by Bryce Harper after 2018. And, you know, look, he's not on the level of Bryce Harper, but we're talking about a guy who almost won the MVP last year, and he's the Red Sox best player. So take it year to year and see what standard is set by Bryce Harper after 2018 when he ends up with the Yankees, and kind of go from there.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart, what was the first thing that went into your mind?
He hates Boston.
Okay, so that's not exactly what I thought. That's a little strong. But what I would tell you is that if I were a Red Sox fan, I'd be concerned. And I'd be concerned because I've said to you over and over and over again, I think they basically have a three-year window. The core of Bradley, Bogarts, Betts, and if you want to throw Benintendi in there now too, that core, the whole collective, is basically together for 3 years. And you include David Price in there potentially, because he could opt out. But even so, let's tell you what, leave Price out. Porcello and Chris Sale are signed for 2 more years after this one, right? Porcello and Chris Sale. So your pitching's going, and your young core is going to start to come apart following the 2019 season. Now, Betts, if I'm not mistaken, is actually here a year longer. He's here through 2020. But nonetheless, you get the idea. And of all the young players they have, the guys that are that young nucleus, I thought Betts was the most signable. Bradley's represented by Boris, who's going to ask for something unreasonable for Jackie Bradley. We all know Jackie Bradley's a good player, a pretty good player. I'm not even sure I would call him a good player. He's a pretty good player. He's certainly not a great one, and Boris is going to want the moon. And he always takes those guys to free agency. Bogarts, also represented by Scott Boris. The chances of signing Bogarts to a big deal are seem slim. And I should also mention that in this Heyman story today, Heyman writes about Xander Bogarts, and this got a little underplayed, okay? Similarly, Heyman writes, Xander Bogarts prefers to go year to year from now. Heyman is very close to Scott Boris, and so he's effectively telling you, same deal. Bogarts isn't signing either. That seems to be the trend among young positional players, blah, 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 blah. Of all the guys they had, I thought Betts was the one chance they had to sign a guy, Murray. I really did. I thought he was the one guy that they might be able to go to early on, and I thought they could make an aggressive offer and keep him. And now it sounds like Betts doesn't want to play ball. And that should worry you, because there is the possibility, if you want to talk long-term with the Red Sox, that they lose them all. Because the price gets so astronomical and so exorbitant that they don't keep any of these guys. Now, in the case of Betts, the Red Sox gave him a nice little bump in pay this year. I think they bumped him to $950,000. I'm pretty sure he's eligible for arbitration after the season. I'm almost certain of it, in fact. So he's going to get some pay raises here in the years going forward. Nobody in baseball has career-ending injuries anymore, at least positional players anyway. Occasionally a pitcher will, but even them, they come back too. So Betts isn't worried about, doesn't need the security. He's going to wait it out. And to me, that puts even more urgency and more pressure on Dave Dombrowski to win now. And things haven't been going well for Dombrowski lately, which brings us to Tyler Thornburg, which we'll get to in a minute. Go ahead, Murray.
Do you think I'm nuts, though, for thinking that these guys and their agents are now going to be looking at Bryce Harper to use him as the standard bearer of what these guys can potentially get? Because if he gets, you know, something ridiculous like $40 to $50 million a year from, say, New York or whatever, going into 2019, wouldn't that, in theory, bump up the price for someone like Mookie Betts?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. The market will be reset every year. The trade-off is you get security now, but you will make a little less money than you would 4 years down the road. Quickly, because I only printed up part of the story you gave me, Murray, that Keith Law story.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Bryce Harper was number one on that list, okay? And I want to say that the estimate for Bryce Harper was somewhere around $400 million. There has been speculation that
Bryce... It could be $750.
Okay, so there was speculation that Bryce Harper was going to get $400 million for 10 years, that he would become the first $40 million player in baseball at the end of next season. And I don't think that that is out of the realm of possibility. And if that happens, then the price for Betts, the price for Bogarts, the price for everybody, including Bradley, goes up. Goes up. 617-779-0985. Michael is in West Roxbury. He wants to talk about the Mookie Betts situation. Go ahead.
Maz, how's it going?
Good.
Oh, Murray. Yeah, well, first off, it's kind of interesting. We spend all this time talking about how baseball's product is terrible and they're losing people, and in the same breath, they're talking about guys signing $40 million contracts, $50 contracts. That's interesting. But talking about Mookie Betts' contract, I mean, I don't blame him for looking for every penny he can get, because if you look at baseball, you see a guy that's been around for years and years, and then you find that he still has 3 years left on his contract. Like, they're under team control for so long that when they finally get their chance, I'm happy if they go out and get every penny they can get, because it takes so long between minors.
Yeah, so Michael, I don't begrudge Betts for wanting to do it. What I'm worried, though, is where are the Red Sox? And look, I know it's way down the line, but these guys, they're all in their early to mid-20s. Bradley's a little older. Benintendi's in his early 20s. Bogart's still, what, 24 years old?
Yeah.
And you have the chance. You could potentially not be able to sign any of them early now. That doesn't bother you?
It does, but I know that having Dave Dombrowski, I know that he has no problem spending John Henry's money, so if he has to, you know, yard sale John Henry's yacht, I have no doubt that he'll do that, and he'll empty John Henry's pockets to sign everyone he can.
Okay, I'll tell you, though, you want to talk about a philosophical difference and a departure from the way the Red Sox used to do things? That would be a departure. Just about every guy whose contract who's come up in a free agent year here under Henry, almost all of them have left. Almost all of them have left. Now, there are a couple that have stayed, but the guys who did stay more often than not are guys they got to early. And a lot of this was under Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein got to guys early and was able to keep them. He was able to get to Dustin Pedroia early and keep him. And there were guys along the way that they made similar decisions with and tried to lock down. The guys they didn't, they let those guys go. Mike Lowell's one of the few guys who got to the market that they retained, and believe me when I tell you, they really didn't want Mike Lowell after the 2007 season. They didn't want him, and he ended up taking a little bit less to stay here. But otherwise, the Red Sox try to go to these guys early. They went to Beckett early, and they signed him. They went to Pedroia early, and they signed him. And then they went to Ortiz early more than once, and they signed him. And they got a deal that was workable for the team, and good, but not great for the player. Ortiz lost a ton of money by signing early. A ton. Dombrowski hasn't done it with anyone yet. And I'm not sure when it gets to, you know, 28 for Mookie Betts that I want to pay the number that it's going to be then. Again, that would be a big departure for this ownership. Big. This sneaky important piece of news today. I know you don't care about 3 years down the road, but Dave Dombrowski now is also faced with, how does he, you know, it's one thing to trade away prospects. It's another thing to lose all your established players, too. And I know that's way off. I know it's in the distance. But there's a lot of pressure on Dombrowski here in the next couple of years. And we'll get to more on Dombrowski next, because the Red Sox get some bad news today with a guy that he traded for.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thornburg continues to be diagnosed and watched, and we're still waiting to see where that takes us.
Ah! Not anymore, he's not. They've diagnosed him now. That was a couple of weeks ago. Dave Dombrowski from May 31st. Doesn't feel like it was May 31st, but it was. End of last month. Can we play it one more time? He was asked about Thornburg, right? And so let me just say that in this interview that he did, prior to being asked about Thornburg, he was asked about a bunch of different things, gave very sort of clear, decisive answers. He was asked about Carson Smith and the, you know, he's on the road, progress is good, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then he was asked about Tyler Thornburg, and he said this.
Thornburg continues to be diagnosed and watched, and we're still waiting to see where that takes us.
Continues to be diagnosed. Continues to be diagnosed on May 31st. The guy didn't pitch all spring, basically. He didn't pitch any of the regular season. He was having shoulder problems. And on May 31st, he was continuing to be diagnosed. I kind of mocked Dombrowski for that at the time. I'm sort of mocking him now. But I read up a little on thoracic outlet syndrome, and it is very difficult to diagnose. So it is possible they weren't entirely sure what the hell it was, but that's what Tyler Thornburg has. And today, the Red Sox announced that Thornburg is done for the year.
Yeah, even though you read up about that particular injury and what it exactly is, are you surprised to hear this news?
No.
When you hear Dombrowski talk there, to me that sounds like a man that realized he's made a trade for damaged goods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question. And so now, the Red Sox also said they think Thornburg will be ready to go at the beginning of next season. And I'll tell you, he might be, but there's no guaranteeing what he's going to be. Matt Harvey had this surgery. And Matt Harvey doesn't look like the same pitcher, does he?
No. He gave up a home run on his first pitch of the game last night.
Check out his ERA now, if you would, Murray. So let
me
know.
They just shut him down again, too. He's been a disaster.
Josh Beckett had this issue, too, and he wasn't the same.
So this is problematic, and it's in the shoulder. So Thornburg was a guy who had elbow history, but nonetheless, he felt like an injury risk. And I don't know, maybe we can blame Dombrowski for it, maybe we can't. Regardless, the Red Sox are also having problems at third base, even though Pablo Sandoval had a good game last night. And Travis Shaw is one of the guys you gave up for Thornburg. Thoracic outlet syndrome, if you care, just quickly, is compression of the area between your collarbone and your first rib.
Well, so, before I look up his what his ERA is now, yes, Matt Harvey has now been shut down for the next following weeks because he has a stress injury to the scapula in his throwing shoulder.
Okay, fabulous. Yeah. And I think he's pitched like garbage for a good chunk of the year. Then we know he's been a mental case on top of it. But that area, what it does is it creates tingling, numbness in the fingers on the right arm, and this guy couldn't throw. He just couldn't throw, and I'm not sure that what you're going to get when he comes back is going to be what he was. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one, but chalk it up, another bad deal for Dave Dombrowski. 617-779-0985. Tom's in Burlington. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So if I'm understanding this right, we got Moreland back in with a busted up foot at first, right?
Correct.
And Hanley's out. Did they give a reason, or is it just like Farrell's not saying anything?
Okay, so I have not seen comments yet. Have either of you guys seen anything online about why Hanley's not playing first base tonight?
No, give me a second.
Okay, so Hanley Ramirez was obviously in the lineup at first base last night. I know Jimmy Stewart, we have some sound from Hanley after the game, right? Talking about why he was willing to go out there when he hasn't been willing to go out there really all year.
No, he mentioned a little bit to me last night, and this afternoon he called me, and so yeah.
How did you feel about it? Were you nervous?
Awesome. Or excited? It was like a little kid out there. So happy. So it was fun.
Okay, so Hanley needed some prodding, I think, to ultimately get out there. Why he's not out there tonight, my guess is that the Red Sox felt like they weren't going to push him too hard, because to ask him to go out there two games in a row would be asking a lot of a guy that they had trouble getting out there at all. They're probably playing along with this idea that he has a shoulder injury. And look, there is another element. If Hanley wanted to go out there, would they have put him out there? Maybe. They're facing another right-hander tonight, so it's an excuse to play Moreland at the very least, although he does have now a slight fracture in his toe. So we'll see what he looks like. I personally think he can play through that. I'm not terribly worried about it. But there is also a clause in Hanley's contract that says he has to get 1,050 plate appearances over this year and next to vest a fifth year in his contract in 2019. So we raise it today during the afternoon show. Maybe his agent got to him. Maybe someone pointed out, hey, you should probably play every game you can so you get the plate appearances and it's worth another $22 million to you. In 2019, we'll see how that shakes out. I was not shocked that Moreland was in the lineup tonight. I thought they haven't played Hanley there all year. All of a sudden, they're going to play him two nights in a row.
Yeah, not one of these guys has any explanation from the manager.
Okay. And now this weekend, Hanley will be back in the lineup. They're going to Houston. Get ready for that series. We'll see how that one shakes out. But they go to Houston and play the Astros. Jeff's in his car. Go ahead.
Naz, it's a pleasure. Thank you. I'm going to ask a question and then make a statement as a result of the question, then hang up because I know you got to move along. I was bringing up with all of this money that you're talking is why isn't there salary cap in baseball? And as a result of all of the money that you guys were talking about earlier, I can't afford to go to a game as you would think it relates to how much the ticket costs in the park for a family of four. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Jeff, look, the cost in Boston is higher than most places, too. And so what I would tell you, though, is that the large majority of the money that is being poured into the game is coming from those regional TV contracts. So, I don't go to the game all that often. The prices are high. They are. You don't have to go. I get it. to me, if you put a good product on the field, people will still go. So I'm less concerned about that part of it. But if you're worried about the competitive balance part, I don't think it's really all that much of an issue anymore. Between the revenue sharing, the luxury tax, and these cable deals, most teams are spending enough money to put a good team on the field now. Most. Not all of them, but most. And when you look at some of the recent, the Kansas City Royals won the World Series 2 years ago. They were in the World Series back-to-back years. They were the best team in baseball. So now, look, we can talk about whether they can sustain it, but the Dodgers haven't won. They've spent. The Yankees have spent. They haven't won. And the Yankees are starting to slash payroll a little now by going with some of these young guys, and now they're winning. So I don't think it's related to the money anymore. And honestly, I think teams are doing a better job of spending their money, too. We are going to get to more on the Red Sox here in the next hour. New little feature on the program. Because as much as the Red Sox won a game last night, it doesn't mean they were completely mistake-free. We'll explain when we come back after Jim Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What is he doing? That had to have been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporter's base running blunders.
Runner goes. Pitch is popped up toward first base. Tommy Joseph makes the catch. And Jackie Bradley, because the ball was hit a mile high by Leon, Jackie Bradley was able to get back. And they tag him out. They say he's out. I thought he went back and touched third.
He crossed third, and I don't think he retouched it.
Interesting. I thought he did.
I don't think he retouched it. See, he crosses third. He touches it, recrosses. Yep. He stepped over it. I don't think he touched it.
Yeah, you're right. He didn't touch it. There's really no neighborhood play in something like that. It's a double play.
So maybe you were already asleep. That happened late in the game last night. Thanks to Jim Murray for the production. This is going to be a thing now.
This is going to be a nightly occurrence.
Well, the Red Sox have made so many base running mistakes. They have given us such fodder, such artillery, that we've decided we're going to now document them. We are now going to document the Red Sox base running mistakes this season with a little Murray production and have a little fun with it. Last night, counting last night, the Red Sox now have been thrown out on the bases this year 32 times. Tops in the major leagues. Tops in the major leagues, and that is not something you necessarily want to be good at. If you missed it, there was a pop-up. Jackie Bradley was on second base, and that was the Philadelphia broadcast you heard there. Bradley was on second and was running on the pitch when the ball was hit into the air. He got to third, stepped on third, started to make the turn when he realized he had to get back. So he ran all the way back to second base. He was then standing on second base, and John Kruk picked up on this right away. He was the color analyst last night on the Phillies broadcast. He was standing on second base when the Phillies tagged him. The umpire called him out. That was it. The inning was over. It was a double play. And the reason is because in running back to second, after he had gone around third, Jackie Bradley did not touch the bag. That is, my friends, an elementary, colossally stupid mistake. It's like the first thing they teach you in base running. If you touch the bag on the way around, you have to touch it on the way coming back. If you don't, you're out. And Bradley was out. And to add it to the stuff, Xander Bogaerts trying to steal third and get picked off when the pitcher never even delivered the ball from the to the plate. Just spun around and picked him off. Or guys, again, a number of guys being thrown out on the bases. Sandy Leon got thrown out at the plate the other night. Hanley's been thrown out on the bases. Dustin Pedroia has been bad on the bases. Benintendi got doubled off against Philly at Fenway Park the other night. Over and over again, the Red Sox are making mistakes on the bases, especially the last few nights. So you know what? We're going to start keeping track, and we're going to make fun of them for it. That's what we're going to do. We'll get back to your phone calls, and Ben, who is in Sterling. Ben, what do you got?
Hey, how are you, Tony?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm thinking about the killer bees. If John Henry wants to re-sign the true killer bees, Benintendi, Bogaerts, and Betts, He better walk in there with $1 billion over the next 8 years. It's not 10 years. It's 8 years.
So, Ben, I'll tell you, your estimate is not that far off. You're a little high. You're a little high, but you're not that far off. And again, Murray found this earlier in the year. Keith Law of ESPN did a story earlier in the season on players under 25 in the major leagues. If they hit the market right now, how much money would they make? And he had Benintendi, Bogarts, and Bradley on the list. Benintendi was 13th. Bogarts was 11th. Betts was 7th. Benintendi was $166 million. Bogarts was $193 million. So that takes you to $360. And Betts was $217 million, which takes you to what? 570, almost 600 million bucks. You said a billion. You're not that far off. They're not going to sign all three. There is no way they will sign all three.
You said you wanted a projection from that article on Bryce Harper, too. He had it at 9 years, $316 million.
Okay, I think he's low on Harper.
So do I.
I think Harper's going to come in higher than that. I think Boris is going to want 10 years and $400 million. He wants the first $40 million player. He wants the first $400 million player, and he might get both. Todd is in Littleton. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
My question was, I was wondering if they got rid of the manager, and maybe Dombrowski, you think these guys would take a pay cut and stay?
So, Todd, you think these guys don't want to play for Farrell, and that's why they're doing it?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering because it seems like something's going on there, and I'm wondering maybe if they have something else, a more aggressive manager, or the GM's out of there. Do you think these guys would stay for a little less money, and they make the World Series this year? Do you think they would stay?
Okay, so Todd, with Bogarts and Bradley, my answer is no. They're Boris clients. Boris is going to the market no matter what, and he does it with guys on every team. Mostly, so that I don't think it matters who the manager is, who the GM is, but Boris has too much of a history there. And honestly, I'm not sure it's all that much of a factor with the other guys. We can ask Jared Karabas when he comes in next week. Karabas thinks it might be a factor. I don't. I think that if you pay the guys enough money, they'll stay. Because if the manager stinks, he's gone. The player stays. And to me, ultimately, what's the guarantee they're going to go to a place where they end up with a good manager? I mean, you never know who the next manager you're going to play for is. You can't make that judgment that way, and I think a half-decent agent would tell a player that. Mike is in Lynn.
Hey, Tony, just got a couple quick questions for you. I understand, we're talking about the free agents. Believe me, I'm worried, too. 3 years isn't that far off, but I don't want to sound exactly like it's doom and gloom, and I don't think they're going to turn into the A's, do you, and just let everybody go. So what do you think their plan is, and how do you think they're doing that? And the other question I had, too, is where do you think these guys are going to go? I mean, if Harper is going to go to the Yankees, say, for $40 million, aren't the Red Sox one of the big spenders? I mean, who's the other club that's going to pay these guys $30, $35 million with Machado and Trout and all these other guys coming up?
Okay, so again, it doesn't mean all these guys are hitting at the same time or that they're all going to sign these players in any given year. But, the Dodgers have money. The Cubs have money. There are plenty of teams in baseball that have money. I mean, maybe not a ton. But there are enough teams that have money that would throw it at some of these guys to go and play there. The Phillies have money. And they're not spending it now, but when the Phillies get to a point where they're going to be competitive again, they'll spend again. And so the Nationals will spend money. There are a lot of teams that would throw money at these guys. A lot of teams. And I'm not saying that they're all leaving. I don't think you're keeping them all. And I thought Betts was the best chance of keeping one. And now it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. Mookie Betts is content to go year to year. So, again, according to this Keith Law story, go back to the beginning of the season, he puts the estimate for Betts at 7 years, $217 million. That's the David Price contract. That's $31 million a year if Betts were a free agent right now. Right now. And I think he's low. I think if the Red Sox wanted to sign Betts, they'd have to go to him right now and offer him 8 years, $250 million. And I might be on the high side. And I don't think they're offering that because he's not going to make anywhere near that in the next few years. But he's going to make a ton when he gets out. And so if I were them, they tried. I mean, it sounds like they tried and Betts doesn't want to do it. And I can't say I blame him. Jack is in Rhode Island.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
I just have a question and a comment. The guy who was talking about ticket prices, there was a good line from the Chicago Cubs owner. He said, said, why does a beer cost $12 at the game? He goes, well, why does a starting pitcher cost $210 million? As far as Tyler Thornburg goes, I thought I heard when they traded for him that he was already sort of damaged goods. I wanted to know if you could shed a little light on that for me.
Well, so, Jack, he has an injury history with regard to his elbow, not his shoulder. This is a shoulder issue. And so to me, if I'm the Red Sox, there's all kinds of questions you're asking here. But as part of a trade, you have the right to review physicals or medical records. And you give the guy a physical. There's all of that. So clearly he passed. And then they brought him in. And remember that whole nonsense about the shoulder strengthening program? And he was having difficulty adapting to it. And that's what they thought what the source of the problem was. As it turns out, they've diagnosed him with thoracic outlet syndrome. He's having surgery. He's done for the year. Tyler Thornburg out. Meanwhile, Travis Shaw's in Milwaukee belting the ball out of the ballpark and playing like an all-star. And the Red Sox have no third baseman. Gretzky's in Waltham.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm the guy I met you at the Christmas in the City benefit fundraiser you had.
Oh, sure.
I told you I'm the one who goes to all the minor league games, and I wanted to tell you about what I thought a lot of the system and that kind of stuff.
Okay, go.
The crap they've been feeding everyone for 10 years about all these guys that they have come up. Who do they have that they've developed that's come up? I'm talking not since Betts and Bogarts.
What about Benintendi, Gretzky?
Okay, I'll give you one. He's still not even proven yet. Don't forget, he started off on fire, then he went cold. He looks like a great ball player, don't get me wrong, but give me a pitcher, Tony. That's more where I'm going.
Okay, so listen, the pitching's a major problem. It's a major problem. They're not developing pitching right now, and we'll see what happens. Maybe someone will come out of the woodwork. But the pick they had last year, Jason Groom, I think he's back now. He had an injury early in the season, some sort of lat strain, I think it was, in his very first outing. So he hasn't pitched much this year, if he's back at all. Listen, I said this at the time, and everybody got all mad when they acquired Chris Sale. I said that Dave Dombrowski has effectively strip-mined their minor league system. They still have some players down there. But he's gotten rid of a lot of them. They better win. They better win in the three-year window because he got rid of a lot of guys. And he didn't mortgage the whole future, but he mortgaged a good chunk of it. And now, look at some of the guys he's traded for. And Carson Smith wasn't for prospects, but Carson Smith hasn't pitched yet. Thornburg was for a handful of young players, and now he's not pitching this year. Again, in case you missed it, Tyler Thornburg, done. Officially, done. Surgery, will not pitch this year. Jack is in the car.
Hi there. Hey, what a field that Amaro is doing. We're talking about this base running.
So, Jack, look, the base running, again, it's an issue. And it's been an issue this week in particular. You got guys running into outs all over the place, making mistakes on the bases, bad reads, bad judgments. The one last night to me by Jackie Bradley, that takes the cake. That takes the cake. Bradley's running on the pitch. The ball's hitting the air, pop up in the infield. He touches third and goes around, and then on the way back, he jumps right over the base. How do you not tag the base on the way back to second? And you know what? When you really look at it, Bradley seems to make an awful lot of stupid mistakes for a guy who has decent baseball acumen. Really? Didn't Bradley throw the ball in the crowd one year, Jimmy? I forget how many outs there were.
Was that the year that there were eight Red Sox players who didn't remember the outs?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, was it him or it might have been Ruzney Castillo?
They both did it that season.
Okay, but Bradley was involved in it too, and it feels like every once in a while he has a brain fart. Or brain, you know, a lapse that you just cannot explain with anything other than total stupidity. And look, he's human. It happens. We all do it. But that? How do you not touch third base on the way back to second? How does that happen? They give away way too many outs.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.